Once again, stop what you're doing and wish the flight deck a happy 40th birthday. Do it on Twitter. Do it right now. James Kelly. Happy birthday, Head. 40 years ago today, a legend was born. Program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. One of the best young players in the bigs, Tampa Bay's outfielder Austin Meadows, joins me in about 15 minutes. The Smack-Off player profile, 17 days out. Mike in Indy. You probably know the backstory with Mike. If not, I will lay it out for you. That's coming up later on. Meantime, 1-800-636-8686 is the number you want to call. Also, follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. I've got a short week. I have a show tomorrow, and I'm traveling to New York on some other business on Thursday. So I'm not here Thursday or Friday. So this is what I mean when I say to you, 17 days does not mean 17 shows. It means 17 days. I'm off Thursday and Friday. I've got business in New York. Do not come in here. Yeah, Rome must be nice. Vacation. It's not vacation. Business regarding the program, the brand, et al., off the air in New York. Quick turnaround. So I'm not here Thursday and Friday, meaning I need you to come in here right now. If you want that golden ticket, you can't get it on Thursday or Friday. You can only get it on days where I work. 1-800-636-8686. In the meantime, I want to do something right now that I never really want to do. I want to talk Seattle Mariners baseball in June. Now, typically, if I'm talking about the Mariners, and that almost never happens, but if I am, it's usually about non-baseball things. You know, either they started serving dead grasshoppers to the 2,000 or 3,000 people at T-Mobile Park, or they're clinching another year in the longest consecutive playoff drought in all of sports professionally. Except today, I've got legitimate baseball reason to talk about the Mariners. In fact, a few baseball reasons. You might recall way back in April, when they started the season with the best record in baseball, they were 13-2. Do you remember that? Neither do I. But I'll tell you what I do remember. I remember a grip of you emailing and tweeting me, telling me that I was not doing my job because I was not talking about them. A grip of you telling me that I was not doing my job unless I talked about the front-running Seattle Mariners. So I did. Sort of. Not really. All right, I didn't. But I will right now. You see, they weren't good. They were sort of hot, but they weren't good. Because ever since that fluky, non-sustainable 13-2 start, they have gone 12-36. So in just 7 weeks, they went from the fake best team in baseball to the real dead last team in the AL West. And they are really 17 games out of first as we speak. That's not easy to do. They went from 13-2 to 17 games out of first in the first week of June. That's not easy to do. So, do you still want me to talk about your Mariners? Because I'm here for it. And over the weekend, they traded Jay Bruce to Philadelphia. And if you're like most informed sports fans, you totally forgot that Jay Bruce was even playing baseball. Not because of Jay Bruce, but because that's what happens when you spend 47 games of your career as a Seattle Mariner. But on Sunday, Jay Bruce went from the basement of the AL West to the penthouse of the NL East, like the upgrade of all upgrades. And the trade has been widely reported to be the first of many for a Mariner team that is thought to be on the brink of a fire sale. Normally, a fire sale like that would come closer to the end of July, closer to the trade deadline. Not in Seattle. Not where the once 13-2 pride of the entire Northwest is all set to attempt their 15th rebuild since the early 2000s. They're not waiting for the stove to heat up. Hell, they are the stove. So that's what's going on upstairs in the front office. Meanwhile, downstairs on the field, it ain't much better. Last night, the first place Astros were in town, and in the top of the sixth inning, with runners on the corners and one out, Yuli Gurriel grounded into a textbook inning-ending double play to Mariners shortstop Dylan Moore. Or at least we thought it would be. But instead of rolling up the routine 6-4-3 double play to get back into the dugout, Dylan Moore picked it and instead did this.
Yuli grounds one towards the left side. Moore's going to come home, and the catcher, Narvaez, was not at home plate. That's going to score a run as Bregman crosses the plate. Moore made the throw home, and Narvaez was heading up the line to back up the play at first.
Because with one out, a double play ends the inning. That was a mental breakdown by Dylan Moore. This is a double play ball. Wow.
Hey, that's one way to put it. A mental breakdown by Dylan Moore. I'm hoping you're watching on CBS Sports Network because you probably aren't watching Mariners baseball. You have to see that to believe that. That is incredible. That was the Astros TV broadcast with a call. In case you're having any trouble following what just happened, Dylan Moore inexplicably took a perfect ground ball double play ball with one out and inexplicably went home with it, trying to cut down the runner on third instead of just flipping it to second to start the double play. The problem, of course, was the Mariners catcher took off from the dish to sprint down the line to back up first base because he and everybody else knew it was a double play ball. Everybody at the yard, including the Astros announcers, were expecting a double play. Hey, Dylan, is this not the very first thing that we all learn in Little League Baseball? Like when we're five. What are you going to do if the ball is hit to you? What are you going to do if the ball is hit to you? Well, if you're Dylan Moore, you are going to come out firing, and go to home plate, where your catcher left like 5 minutes earlier to back up first base. Dude, you do know that the umpire was not wearing a glove and a Mariners gamer, right? Just because he had a face mask on does not mean he's your catcher. He was not going to record the final out for you or the second out. What, was he going to try and throw to first to get a double play? Dude threw to home plate and his catcher was nowhere to be found. No. Instead, hilarity ensues, and the Mariners remind everybody why they are the Mariners and still one of the worst MLB franchises ever. The ball bounces off the backstop and the run scores. And I'd even say, hey, Dylan, maybe you look before you throw, but he did. I'm not exactly sure what he saw. You think the Mariners announcers, who live with this sort of thing, and who see this sort of thing 162 times a year would be used to it by now, but apparently they're not. In fact, you listen to the hometown announcers, and even they have never seen anything like that before.
Ground ball, Dylan Moore comes home. Nobody home! Wow.
I'm not sure I've seen that before.
Not sure you've seen that before? I guarantee you haven't seen that before. That's the voice of Mike Blowers, calling it on Root Sports. Mike Blowers played 11 years in the bigs. He played for Seattle. He's been calling games ever since he played. I guarantee that guy's seen everything before. He played 11 years in the majors. He's never seen that because nobody has. This guy's never seen a shortstop forego a routine double play ball to throw the ball home when nobody's home.
Nobody home!
Nobody home! Clock! The Mariners would go on to lose their 38th game of the season, and that puts them just one back of the Marlins for fourth worst record in all baseball. That's the company the once 13-2 Mariners are now keeping with the freaking Marlins. So let me ask all you Mariner fans one more time who are all up in my mentions 7 weeks back. You still want me to talk about your team? Didn't think so. Guess what? Neither do I. Enjoy your Grasshopper Sandos. Grasshopper Tuesday.
Nobody home!
Nobody home! What are you doing? I mean, like, tailor-made, perfect ground ball. double play ground ball, man. Roll it up. Get your ass back to the dugout. Oh, nobody home.
Nobody home.
Right. You know why nobody's home? Because the catcher did his job and was backing up first.
Wow.
This email. Hey there, Jim. I heard you say you were going to talk Mariners baseball today. And I was just curious as to why. Because they bleeping suck? Because they're a bunch of bumbling, idiot bumasses and can't stop committing errors? Because their starting rotation and bullpen couldn't pitch a tent, let alone an inning, without puking all over themselves? Or is it maybe because they won 13 of their first 15 and have since gone half of April, all of May, and part of June without winning another 13 games? Well, maybe Adam Hawk hasn't been smoking pesticide-free weed and keeps killing the Magic Mariners pornopiller. Either way, you slice this poop pie, it comes out intolerable. Saying something sucks is not a take, but the Mariners suck. Mike in Ferndale. And Mike's not happy. Listen, you want to know what? I would have ignored that. I literally would have ignored that. I would have ignored what has become of them. I would have ignored what happened last night. I would have ignored it if all you Mariner fans had not come up in here after 15 games and said, hey, Rome, how do you like us now? Why aren't you talking about us now? You've been on us in the past. You're not doing your job, radio man. I would have let it go. I would have done what I've always done, and that is ignore the Mariners. What's there to talk about? And if you've got nothing good to say about somebody, don't say anything at all. But you left me no choice. When you went to that you're not doing your job radio man nonsense, it got filed away. Hey, Rome, very clever. Doing a take on a regular season team that started hot, then turned out to be a big letdown right before a preview on Mike in Indy. I see you working pimp. Dan in Denver, RTN. That's not what I was doing. That's not what that was about. Rome, I'm with you. They weren't good, but they were sort of hot. Signed, Lamar Odom. Aaron in Omaha. Warhawk getting a front row seat
Omaha!
To Rome's Mariners berating. My man. Crazy Ryan Kane is in. Dear Jim, the Seattle Supersonics will win another title in Seattle before the Mariners win a title. Please cue Yakety Sax for the ultimate bleep show that is happening with the Mariners. They are an embarrassment to the city, the league, and all of professional sports.
Yuli grounds one towards the left side. Moore's going to come
home. Like that, Kane?
The catcher, Narvaez, was not at home plate. That's going to score a run as Bregman crosses the
plate.
Let's
see about Kane. Kane is like Washington through and through, Seattle through and through. He's all about it. And he's here to kill them. Would you give my man Ryan Kane some more yakety sacks, Alvy? Dude, they are embarrassing. They're embarrassing, but they always are.
Nobody home!
This year's no different than any other year. Except that I ignore them every other year. And I would have ignored them if you didn't get all up in my mentions after 15 games.
Wow.
Quote, nobody home.
Nobody home.
Dude, I don't even see that crap in travel ball with my eighth grader. 1-800-636-8686. Don't hurt yourself, Hawk. Matt Kraft. Hey, Jim. Mariners are sailors. Sign that coin guy from hour one. As long as the coins are clean. When we return, Austin Meadows, Tampa Bay Rays outfielder, and the Mike in Indy Smack Up player profile. That's coming up too. There's a couple of guys who want to help me out with crypto on hold. It's Father's Day. You want to give Dad a gift. You want to give Dad a shirt from Untuck It. You know, the shirt's specifically designed to be worn untucked. Untuck It shirts have that just right untucked length so Dad can always look sharp and feel casual at the same time. Untucked shirts are a go-to for any occasion, from casual to dressy. Untucked has more than 50 fit combinations, so tall, short, slim, and bigger dads can all experience the perfect fitting shirt. Not only do they look good, they feel amazing too. Even the wrinkle-free options. Not sure exactly what Untucked item to get him? Then go to Untucked.com, see all their great Father's Day gift ideas. Use the promo code ROME20 for 20% off your first purchase. You can also visit Untucked at one of their 60 retail stores across the country and get your perfect fit. Get fast, free shipping and returns on every order in the U.S. at Untucked.com. Remember the promo code ROME20 and get 20% off your first-time purchase in-store or at Untucked.com. Untucked for Father's Day. Dads will love it. Untucked.com. Use your promo code ROME20. Get your 20% off.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Talking. Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. We were talking to John Morosi a little bit earlier today about a couple of young guys having historic seasons for their age. Cody Bellinger of the LA Dodgers, for one, and my next guest, member of the Tampa Bay Rays, hitting .357, 12 home runs, 37 runs batted in. He leads the American League in batting average, slugging percentage, OPS. He was the ninth pick overall back in 2013. The Rays were just 2.5 games out of first. They are at Detroit tonight. Austin Meadows is my guest. Austin, great to have you on. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
Really nice to have you. So you're in Detroit tonight after a couple of tough games against the Twins. You had a six-game winning streak going, and then you dropped three to the Twins. Look, I know it's a long, long season, and the way you guys are playing, you can have more winning streaks than losing streaks. So generally, what is the mood around the team right now?
Just great, you know. The Twins, they were a great team. For us to be able to, go up there and put some really close games together, we're all going to get better from that. But, the vibe is great in the clubhouse. We're having a lot of fun out there, and it's showing out there for sure.
You know, I had your teammate Tyler Glasnow on the show earlier in the year, and we talked about the fact that he had the sense that guys could be really good this year. I mean, really good. We're in early June right now, and you're battling for first in the East. So when did you first realize that this team could not only compete with the Yankees and Red Sox, but be better than them too?
Yeah, I think it started all in spring training, really. We knew we had the talent to go out there and compete, and it showed from spring training on. I think that we have all the talent in the room, everything from the pitching side to, in the outfield to the infield, and we really click. We play really good, and when the pitching's good, it's a lot of fun to play behind those guys, and it's good most of the time. So, like I said, we enjoy it out there, and we have a lot of talent. We know we can compete.
Austin Meadows joining us. Now, you opened up the season with a home run off Justin Verlander in your very first at-bat. You said after the game, quote, you kind of blanked out, you don't remember much, end quote. What's it like to homer off that guy in that at-bat and to do it off a legend like Verlander?
It was surreal. I grew up watching Justin Verlander. I don't even know when it was, elementary school, middle school, stuff like that. And then being able to get that home run off of him, especially it being opening day and, family being there. And it was just a really surreal moment. It was definitely a lot of fun, for sure.
Listen, you're not going to make it about you, and there's a lot of baseball still to be played, but your name is getting a lot of attention for the All-Star game. Again, I know you're not looking to make it about you, but what would it mean to you to get that kind of honor this year?
Yeah, it'd be amazing, honestly. For me, I try not to focus on that. We try to go out there. We try to win each game, and that's kind of what we tend to do each and every day in and day out. And that's kind of our main goal. But, being able to be in those All-Star talks and all that stuff, it's definitely a blessing. And I'm truly honored to, be in that conversation. But for now, we're going to try to take care of winning games and try to lead the division.
Austin Meadows joining us. I'm really impressed with the fact that you're doing all this despite the fact that you played six games in left, 14 in right, 17 is DH. In the past, the thinking's been that playing different positions can mess with a player's rhythm at the plate. That's clearly not the case with you. So how do you stay so locked in at the plate no matter where they play you in the field?
I think it all starts from spring training and before that. I've played a lot of positions before, whether it's been in high school or in pro ball in the minor leagues and stuff like that. So, I've really bounced around and, I'm really comfortable out there, whether it's left field or right field. And and then DH as well. So being able to get those reps in spring training and just be able to deliver wherever they're going to put me in that lineup each and every night and try to help the team win, it's been a big thing for me.
And you, of course, were drafted by the Pirates, and then you were traded last summer as part of that deal for Chris Archer. You were the guy that Tampa Bay wanted badly, so that's got to feel good. And, of course, you'll tell yourself that it's just business, but is it tough to leave an organization that did draft you and where you played for 5 years?
Yeah, always. You know, being able to, you know, grow up with that organization, with the Pirates organization, and you know, make a lot of friends, a lot of memories. It's definitely tough. You know, I was surprised, you know, obviously surprised when I got traded, but to realize, you know, that the Rays, they wanted me, that you know, obviously they gave a great player as Chris Archer. So for being able to come over here and know the team has, you know, wanted me for a while, it's definitely comforting. And, you know, we have a great team here. We have great chemistry, and it's a lot of fun to be a part of.
Austin Meadows joining us. The MLB draft started last night. That's actually a really exciting thing, a really exciting time. You were a top 10 pick. You were number 9 overall back in 2013. What do you remember about the draft experience? What was that like for you?
It was great. I remember I had the option to kind of to go up to the studio up in New York, but you know, I elected to stay home with my family, and being able to celebrate with them was amazing. You know, my parents, they got me to where I was at that point in time, and it was definitely an honor to be able to get to celebrate with them, and being able to get paid to where I was and see friends and family and all the support that I had. It was definitely a day that I won't forget.
Austin, your family is amazing to me in the sense that your brother Parker was drafted by the Tigers in the second round last year. How proud were you to see him get drafted, and how pumped are you for him?
I'm extremely pumped for him. And being able to follow him and realize just how blessed we are to be able to, you know, not only have one guy as in me, you know, in the major leagues now, but Parker being drafted last year, have my brother go through that. And just I try to do everything I can to help him and show him the way, you know, being drafted in 2013 and going up through the minor league system. I try to give him my two cents on everything that I can. And being able to follow him is definitely amazing. And I know it's a dream come true for my parents to have, you know, two sons in the professional league. So it's definitely pretty cool.
Yeah, this is no coincidence. Speaking of your parents, we're talking Austin Meadows. Your parents were both great athletes. Your father, Kenny, played baseball and football in college. Your mother, Stacy, was a college softball player. So what was it like growing up in such an athletic and competitive household?
You know, our parents always pushed us to be the best we could be. You know, ever since I was 3 years old when I started playing baseball. Ever since then, you know, they've been great, and we couldn't be more blessed to have parents as them, and for them being able to push us, and especially with the athletic background that they have. My mom playing softball, my dad playing, you know, all three sports, football, basketball, and baseball, and having those athletic genes. We're, you know, me and my brother are definitely blessed, and we're going to continue to work hard, and we're going to continue to take advice from our parents. They continue to coach us and continue to love us and support us. So we're definitely honored to be where we're at.
You know, finally, I'm glad you brought that up. I was going to ask you about that because I talked to major leaguers who were coached by their dads coming up, and a lot of guys still really trust their dad with their swing because nobody knows them or their swing like their father. I also made the point, Austin, that I've got an eighth grader who plays travel ball. I don't mess with a swing at all. I mean, long ago, yeah. I stopped dealing with that. What about you? Do you still have your mom? Also, your mom and dad, do they still work with you on your swing if you need that help?
You know, I think not so much, honestly. Yeah. You know, my parents, they realize how hard this game can be. You know, obviously with me going through the minor leagues, and they're there for the support. You know, they're there for the positive uplifting, and they realize, you know, how tough this game can be, like I said. So, you know, I talk to my dad a lot, you know, about the game, and we just kind of talk baseball. We don't really get too much into it. He realizes how much of a grind and how hard it is, but you know, he's always there for inspiration, always there for uplifting, just like my mom as well. And I continue to count on them, you know, whether it's a bad game or a good game, and they're always there for me. So being able to go back to them and talk to them, it's definitely a great thing.
The truth is, that's the answer that I would expect. I would expect everybody to say that, yeah, you know, at some point I stopped talking to my dad or my mom about my swing, but they're there for that emotional support. But there are guys still technically who do trust their dad. Austin Meadows
yeah,
joining
sure.
us, 357, and they're just 2.5 games out of first big game against Detroit tonight. Austin, really good to have you on the show. Well done, and nice to talk to you.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. Enjoyed it.
Yeah, me too. Really well done. And he showed up exactly the way I expect him to show up. That is a really impressive young guy. And I think he figured it out early on. He had a baseball coach in high school named Jed Hickson. And he said, quote, he's mature beyond his years, whether in athletics or in any walk of life, to be able to look at the negatives and say, I'm not going to let this ruin me. I'm going to use this to propel me. For a kid of his age, in the limelight and the exposure, to look at things that way is what makes him great, end quote. He is years behind his beyond his actual age. So that's not surprising. When you look at his skill set and his approach and his makeup, I'm not surprised to see him putting up the numbers he is. Leads the American League in batting average, slugging, and OPS. And a top 10 pick from 2013. Rome. I guess I'm a little confused about why you want to use coins in the first place. I pay for pretty much everything I buy on a credit card, and I haven't used coins in years. Hope this helps. Signed, Roger in Boston.
Don't buy any cleaned coins. Do you want to write it down?
I mean, Roger, are you going Kawhi Leonard on me? Are you just being literal, or are you trying to mock the other guy, or do you really mean that? For the last time, I am not looking for advice on collecting coins, cleaning coins, using coins. I said, does anybody know anything about Bitcoin, cryptocurrency? And I brought that up only because show legend Ben Mesrick has written a book, and we interview him every time he drops a book, called The Bitcoin Billionaires. And it's a fascinating book, as are all of Ben's books. And I said, honestly, Ben, before I read the book, I did not know that much about crypto. I was just never one of those guys who had a real interest in Bitcoin. Whenever it came up, I just kind of looked the other way. And I said, after talking to you and reading the book, I went out and I bought part of a coin. You can buy part of a coin. The coin is really expensive. Does anybody know anything about it and have any advice for me as I'm learning? And the whole thing went sideways on me. Hey, Rome, too bad Flight Deck is not in studio. Ike could have broken a bottle of champagne over his forehead, commissioning the next 40 years. John in the 916. Yeah, no, Roger, I'm not looking to purchase anything with coins. I got to admit, when I go into a Starbucks and I pay cash, I feel like I'm like the old dinosaur. We're not breaking out my Starbucks card. No, I'm not doing that. I'm not collecting coins. Like I said, they either end up in my ashtray in my car, or they end up in a Sparklets bottle in my closet. Until one of the kids goes to the market and dumps it into that machine, and then we get our $18.
I'm talking about coin collecting. I'm not talking about any Bitcoin. I don't understand computers.
And then he goes, does that help? No, that didn't help at all. How could that help? Why would that help? I said I need help with Bitcoin. Oh, I don't understand Bitcoin. I know nothing about computers. Does that help? No.
Okay. Is that helpful?
No, that was not helpful. This is the same dude who said to me, are you writing it down? Are you writing it down? Are you getting this?
Do you want to write it down?
Yeah, all right. What else you got? When we come back, today's Smack Off profile. It may or may not carry the segment, which means if you're on hold, you may or may not get on. Don't hang up. Tomorrow night, 7 Eastern, Alvin, 4 Pacific. Make way for what's next. When CBS Sports Network brings you top-notch WNBA action. Do not miss the Chicago Sky taking on the Washington Mystics on the 24-hour home of CBS Sports. The Smack-Off player profile of Mike in Indy. When we come back, but first, here is your sports update. remember, Smack Off 25 is presented by my pals at Vivid Seats. This year, Vivid Seats is giving every Smack Off caller that makes the air on June 21st $50 towards the purchase of tickets on VividSeats.com or the Vivid Seats app. From the biggest concerts to the biggest games of the summer, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the Vivid Seats app or visit VividSeats.com. Proud to have them involved. So before I talk about our Smack Off 25 player profile today, which is Mike and Indy, really quickly, looking at Twitter, National Cheese Day is trending. All right, so if I were to hit you with this, cheese, reaction. When you think of cheese, much less Cheese Day, what do you think of? Not rat. Not even Wisconsin. No, I think about my man Jeff in Southfield. I think about this guy and this call when you mention cheese.
The forensic evidence was undeniable, Jim. Wisconsin is fat. But what do you expect from a state that has given up literature, science, and the arts for cheese production, cheese consumption, and cheese-related fashion? And the worst kind of cheese, too. Jim, I'm proud to be an American, but I'm not proud of that cheap crap we call American cheese. Not only is American cheese not worthy of having its slices individually wrapped, its outer wrap should be a clown suit. It's the Bozo of cheeses. The number of Europeans whose vacation to America includes wanting the freshest sample of our American cheese is none. When the other cheeses have a party, American cheese sits home uninvited and eats a whole pack of itself from depression. Let's face it, the only thing American cheese is good for is drowning out the cheap taste of fast food hamburgers. Upon considering that the state that has the cows for making cheese is also making the burgers, I realized what Wisconsin truly is. Clones, Wisconsin is the bubbling fountain that produces the raging river that is McDonald's. Thanks a lot, Wisconsin.
I love Wisconsin. I'm sending my son to college in Wisconsin. That is an amazing phone call. That is one of the funniest phone calls I've ever heard on this show. Amazing. Which is interesting because a lot of you seem to think that this next guy that I'm profiling is that guy. That they're one and the same. When there's no way they are. I know this. We're now 17 days off. The player profiles continue. I started with Brad and Corona 2 weeks back. Then moved on to Mark in Hollywood, Benny in Wisco, Tyler in Edmonton, Matt in Vancouver. Yesterday, Rick in Buffalo got the treatment. Today, I focused in on one of the best to ever do it. He's been on this thing. He's been coming strong for a decade straight. Mike in Indy, a.k.a. Mikey DLC. Say what you want about this guy, but nobody can take anything away from his stat sheet. 10 straight smack-offs going back to 09. Seven finishes inside the top two. Six runner-ups. And the one undisputed, very much on the record, smack-off title in 2014. Like, you can try and cut that thing in half if you want. I'm not going to. I run the program. I host the event. I've never done that. It says right here, Mike and Indy is the 14 champ. So y'all can cry all you want about that. It's never going to change. He earned that. He won it. He's the champ. You can't take that away from him. There is no asterisk on it. Not in my mind. So now that we got that out of the way, let's go back to last year. Mike and Indy retired and then unretired and did so in less than 24 hours before making this call in his 10th straight smack-off.
And the Cablin Asian was gone but not forgotten. Nobody forgot how bad he sucks. Thanks for proving once and for all that the top dogs from your era are only worth sixth place in the Mike and Indy era. And Chael, there's 8 billion people in this world, and not one of them can make sense of the call you just made. Rome, I have a lot of haters out there, but guess what, haters? I'm your favorite caller's favorite caller. The truth doesn't need a sales pitch, Romy. I'm the best there ever was and the best there ever will be. I've been first or second place every year going back to 09 with one exception. Kirk Orban ain't scratching those big Castrol sponsorship checks because Mark in Boston is dropping some sixth place heat in here. I bring Tiger Woods type ratings and everybody benefits. But today I'm going to play a little game of show and tell. I'm going to show you all how great I am and then I'm going to tell you about it. The biggest topic in the jungle is usually the jungle itself, but not anymore. I'm the biggest topic in the jungle. My call last year was so hot it burnt a hole in the bottom of Bodie's dip spit cup. My call last year was so dope, Adam Hawk tried to buy some of it. I know everybody's saying I'm responsible for the Left and Laguna rule, banning studio appearances, and that's true. I got that done. But it was to protect Rome against a psychopath like Rick and Buffalo. Rome doesn't exactly have a crew of ass-kickers on the other side of that glass. You got Hawk, who threw out his back putting on his shoes. Alvey would just hit the dude, no soundbite, while Keith Arnold takes a hands-off approach, just like he does every day at work. This guy works like he's got a guaranteed contract. I haven't seen him do a damn thing since he showed up.
That call was good. It was good, but good for fourth. And since Mike is Mike, Mike was pissed. Which makes Mike Mike, man. He's a competitor. Mike thinks that he makes the best call every single year. Mike thinks he's won it 10 years in a row. But I'm fine with that. He wants it. It matters to him. And this year on Keith Arnold's last day, considering how he went in on Chael during that Smackoff call last year, he called in on Keith Arnold's last day, and he called in with an insurance plan that nobody had ever heard before.
I'm selling the opportunity to be my tandem partner in the 25th annual Smackoff Championship, and the reserve is set at $5,001. I may take the first legit offer if you give me a good reason to do so, or I may wait around for better offers, but email me at themikeandindy@gmail.com with your offer and why I should pick you. Don't waste my time with any fake offers. This is actually a really good value for the guy or girl who has the cash to make this happen. Maybe it'll be a wealthy clone like homie in Newport Beach, actually on CDM. $5,001 is walk-around cash for homie. Or maybe a bunch of clones will do a GoFundMe for a scrub like Parody Larry or Josh in Detroit. Could you imagine? If I can win a smack-off with Chael as my partner, I can win one with Josh in Detroit. Now, some people would say this is a pure cash grab, and it's definitely that. But if I get a qualified offer, I'm in it to win it. How much would you pay to be in the locker room and get some scrub minutes on one of Michael Jordan's championship teams? $5,001 is actually a tremendous deal, so get in here before I raise that reserve to $10,000. War Mike and Indy getting that bread.
War Mike and Indy getting that bread. I see it working, Mike. It made me think, like, sometimes when you go to eBay, you see people put things up at a price that's way above what it should cost. And you know it. Like, everybody knows it, except for that one rich dope, apparently. Like, if I go to eBay and I see an iPhone, and the iPhone is $4,000, and I can get that same phone through Apple's website for $1,000 if I decide, why would I pay $4,000? Because they're hoping one dope will do it. Like, Mike is hoping one dope will do it. Maybe, and all it takes is one, right? We learned this early in sales. It's not how many no's, it's how many yeses, and all you need is one big yes. If Mike gets that one big yes, he's there. I wonder if there's like a buy it now for Mike. Like, can you get in for $1,500? What's up, Alvy? Whatever. Anyway, no word yet on if anybody's giving Mike the scratch he's looking for. But again, all it takes is one person. Knowing Mike, he's not going to reveal who he partnered up with until we hear that person for the first time on June 21st. And even then, if we hear somebody, how do we know that person paid money or that much money? I don't know. With Mike, you never know. We'll find out 17 days out. Remote controls, are they taking over your living room? Get Control Center by Cavo, the one universal remote that manages all of your content. Shop right now, save $10 on the Control Center Starter Pack Bundle with the one-year service plan and the promo code ROME at CAAVO.com. CAAVO.com. Make sure you use that promo code ROME. Podcast Tuesday, going to drop a little bit later on today. My guest, Rex Chapman. Rex has had an amazing life. An amazing basketball life, an amazing life, period. Rex and I get caught up. The podcast is going to drop a little bit later on. My thanks to all of my guests, the XR4TI, you clones. See you later. We're out.